Jared and Shireen, County 10's podcast. Renee Schell, back in action, Wyoming Game and Fish. And this is going to be one of my favorite interviews because I'm all about trying to stop these sneaky little buggers, the aquatic invasive species that are trying to come into Wyoming. But Wyoming Game and Fish is doing such a great job to try to put a stop to that. So let's talk about AIS.
Yes, aquatic, just like you said, they're sneaky. We should be able to be smarter than them. And we'll talk about all different kinds of AIS. So I think a lot of us just immediately think of the big ones that I feel like Game and Fish has done a good job letting everybody know. We don't want these zebra and quagga mussels, right? But we'll get into other kinds of AIS as well. So with the zebra and quagga mussels, this is the time of year, March 1st through November 30th, where if your watercraft of any kind, inflatable, not inflatable, water toys, all that kind of stuff, if it leaves the state and it comes back in, you have to get it inspected before launching on a Wyoming water.
And that starts March 1st.
March 1st, yep. And in April 1st, we'll have kind of all of the stations at like the port of entry. So we have a month there between March 1st and April 1st where you'll have to seek out an AIS check station. And our regional offices can do that with an appointment, or they can help you find another check station. But, you know, that's really, I mean, it's for all AIS, like all the plants, as well as those big ones, the zebra and quagga mussels. And I feel like a lot of folks think, well, I don't see these snails on my gear, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. But you're not going to see them. So the way they reproduce is they send out, they're called veligers, but it's just like, you know, little fertilized eggs, and they look like, well, you can't even see them. They feel like sandpaper. It's like a grain of sand is what they feel like. So you're not, it's not something you're going to see.
Okay.
And this is what they do. This is what aquatic invasive species do. They want to proliferate, right? So they're going to be tricky. They're not going to be like you said. They're not going to go, hi, here I am. All right.
Yeah, I have so many friends that are fly fishers that mention that to me. Well, I don't see anything. I don't need to clean my gear. And I'm like, well, you won't really see, you know, I mean, yeah, you talk about the mussels, but you won't really see the transfer necessarily, you know?
No, you won't. And, you know, we've been really fortunate in the state. We are one of the only states in the nation now that hasn't found those zebra mussels in any of our Wyoming waters, which is huge, knock on wood. But we do see quite a bit of interstate movement of the aquatic invasive species we have in the state. And so that's really big, I feel like, especially for fly fishermen or even waterfowl hunters on your pets as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people don't think about that on their dog. But if you go one day and then the following day between waters, you can move things like all the plants. Like we just saw curly pondweed showed up in Flaming Gorge for the first time.
Oh, no.
And the New Zealand mud snail is now in Flaming Gorge for the first time, both in 2021, where they discovered there. So we're still waiting to see kind of what the implications are in that waterway. That lets us know we need to do a better job at Game and Fish, letting people know even all your gear, right? Your pets, your gear needs to be that drain clean and dry, just like your boats. Yeah. And the curly pondweed, you know, it'll outcompete the native plants, but then it forms these really dense mats. So it impedes recreation. Like boaters will, like more like non-motorized boaters will get stuck in the curly pondweed. Ugh. I know. And then that little New Zealand snail, the trout can't digest the shell very well. And so it takes them more energy to digest that snail than what they're getting back out of it. I know.
Wow.
I know.
So there's so much on AIS. And I'm so proud of Wyoming and Wyoming Game and Fish for what they're doing. For folks that may not, maybe they just want to clean their boat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Are there a few tips and tricks like they can just make sure to do when they get home that's just going to help us out?
Yes, absolutely. So think drain, clean, dry, right? So when you're traveling with your boat, you need to remove the plug anyway, right? So you can remove that plug. A lot of the water will leave, you know, as you're sitting there after you've pulled out of the boat ramp and you're cleaning up all your stuff and you're putting it back in your truck maybe and kind of packing the boat up. If you have, like, you can't transport live fish anyway, so all your fish should be dead at the point that you're transporting them. So really draining that live well, you don't want to move that. Trying to remove, I think that the trickiest part really is when folks have inboard motors. You can't get all the water out. And those are the ones that we see when folks have inboard motors and they come across state lines, they always have to be decontaminated because we know there's water in there. So just on a personal note, I will buy boats with outboard motors because of the ease of really knowing sure everything's clean and dry. And then you know how in some trailers, they'll have like a fabric covering that touches the boat. So a lot of times that fabric covering will hold like the curly pond weed.
It's like felt on the bottom of wader boots.
Exact concept. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of states have done away. I think Montana, you can't have that felt in some other places.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Wyoming goes to that at some point.
Something I'm always watching, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. If you buy new waders, it's probably worth investing in some without felt on the bottom. But really like checking out the bottom of your boat when you get home, if you can just kind of spray it off and then leave it out in the sun. So these little mussels don't do well in high temperatures and they don't do well in freezing temperatures. So kind of baking them off.
Is there, for like Jared, for example, who doesn't necessarily have a boat per se, are there ways that people who don't have boats transfer these AIS?
Yeah.
And are there ways that they can be watchful or mindful?
Yeah. Even on, like, if you take your kids to the shore, you know, and you're going to camp and they're going to throw stuff in the water and they've got their muck boots on or their Tevas or their little Chacos, whatever they're wearing. And then you're going to go that same, maybe you're camping and you're going to go that same day and you're going to go on a hike and you're going to go in a stream, right? So, and they're wearing the same shoes. That's something that you could easily clean off, just spraying off with some water, not from the lake that you were at, but spraying off with some fresh water between. So really thinking about, we talked about your dog, right? So you could even like a brushing the dog or, you know, I don't know if you need to give him a full bath. You certainly can. But thinking critically about, did I move in the same day from one water body to another? And what do I need to do?
Yes, I think that's excellent. And we mentioned with, you know, people who have kids and are maybe going across state lines to some of our great waterways that are our neighbors. And then, you know, making, because some of them are easy day trips for some areas too. And so you definitely need to watch that. Even if you're not a boat owner, even if you're not out there fishing, there are ways that people do, unfortunately, without knowing, move AIS.
So. Yeah, I think it's just a mindset we need to start thinking about. And yeah, it'll be interesting how Game and Fish wants to educate on that. Accidentally or on purpose introduced aquatic invasive species, which to me are just animals that are either put somewhere on purpose or accidentally where they're not supposed to be. So like the yellow perch that we recently found out about in Saratoga Lake, that is such a big deal, you guys. And we are hoping if anybody has any tips on who or how that may have happened, we'd like to know, and they can report that on the Stop Poaching hotline. But we do know that that was not a species anywhere in that water system. So it did not get there on its own. Someone put it there, and we've seen this happen in the past in other places where there are anglers that think, I want to fish for yellow perch, so I'm going to put them in here. I would say, please don't do that, right? We have a really...
It's illegal.
It's illegal, yes, for one. And we have a very delicate balance of fisheries that we manage around the state for different purposes. So Saratoga Lake, we've managed for trout fishing. These yellow perch can easily outcompete the trout. We'll see. I know our folks are still kind of working on a plan. They did have to cut off the freshwater intake into Saratoga Lake so that those yellow perch don't travel upstream. So that's a bit of a concern as well,
right,
too. And so I'm sure they're working on how they can restore that input, but keep the fish from traveling upstream. But we've all seen it. I mean, if you go to Thermopolis and you hike around, you see the goldfish, right, that folks put in that warm water.
Mm-hmm.
We have similar problems with things like bullfrogs. People will raise the tadpoles as an experiment, and then they don't know what to do with the frog. Bullfrogs are not native to Wyoming, and they are actually pretty voracious predators. You know,
there's a lot of fish and other things that are aquatic invasive species that you don't think about. I mean, I was just reading in the Everglades, the pythons that are down there, and that's just a huge issue because people were, you know, putting those snakes, just like we're talking about with the goldfish, and now they've got an issue they may not ever be able to come back from.
I bet they won't with those pythons. But yeah, it applies here to things like snakes and turtles and all those pets. And if you find yourself in a situation where you really just don't know what to do, I would talk to the local pet store. Even if they're not where you got your pet from, they may be able to help you. They may be able to take it. They may be able to euthanize it for you or find a home for it. So please don't put it in our waterways and on our lands. It has just a myriad of consequences.
What about goldfish down the toilet? Does that go somewhere? Like bad?
I think it, I mean, I don't think they want it down the toilet.
I just think it's fascinating, the microscopic aspect to it. You know, you see the pictures of zebra mussels and things you can see with your eyes. Not everything you can see that you may be transferring.
Right, because they, I mean, the whole point of them is they want to reproduce and survive and proliferate, right? So we have to be smarter than all these little sneaky critters.
Well, you can help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species by becoming a Wyoming certified inspector. They do have classes all over the state. I know Wyoming Game and Fish shared it on their Instagram and social media. I know they have one Keyhole Reservoir, so of course that's the other side of the state, and then they have them all the way through May in different areas. So the chances are you can probably make one of these, so check it out, and then you can become certified and you can help volunteer, but also you could know exactly how to check your stuff, your friend's stuff. You could help with your neighbors. There's a lot of good things that could come of this.
That is a good point. If you are a certified inspector, you can certify your own boats. So you don't, you are your own certification system. So if you frequently travel in and out of state, this may be something you want to do for yourself.
Renee, anything else on aquatic invasive species we need to remind the folks about?
I think that about covers it. Yeah, just, I think keep it top of mind this spring and summer.
Yeah, whether you're boating, you're recreating, you're hiking, you're camping with the kids and changing waterways, just that critical thinking Renee mentioned about is going to be of the utmost importance. Jared and Shireen, Renee Schell, Wyoming Game and Fish.